Thank you so much, Rabbi Posner. It's a wonderful blessing to be here this morning. Shachianu, v'kimanu v'gianu, l'zman hazeh. To be at this launching of this very important project. There's nothing more and nothing greater than we want to do at Yeshiva University than Marbitz Torah and Marbitz Torat Harav. It is our legacy, it is our identity, it is who we are and what we aspire to do. There's a number of people that Rabbi Posner mentioned. I will just take a moment to acknowledge the presence of our illustrious Rosh Yeshiva, who are here with us this morning, the ones who disseminate Torah Tarav to our thousands of students, our Dean of Reitz, who is here, Rabbi Menachem Penner. We have a number of our trustees, Joel Schreiber and Julius Berman, with whom I have a deep relationship. And all of the, I see a number of Reitz trustees who are with us this morning, Marvin Bienenfeld, also our trustee and a re-trustee, and of course, Hai Arbisfeld, for whom this series, whose generosity sponsors a series of these programs, and whose leadership has brought Yeshiva University such great rewards. It's also my pleasure to acknowledge the presence of Owen and Steve Newark, our dear friends, who have sponsored this production, as they do in so many ways, to be Marbitz Torah, to spread Torah to our community. It's wonderful to be with you and to continue this wonderful celebration. A little more than a year ago, we marked the investiture of a new president of Yeshiva University, but my true introduction to the presidency of YU was not a public event. It was a private moment. A few months prior to the investiture, I moved into the Rav's apartment to live on campus before my family moved here from Israel. And I remember walking into the Rav's apartment and feeling an enormous weight, an enormous responsibility. Here in this room, the Rav learned, the Rav created his chidushim, the Rav carried on the weighty conversations to guide our community. And here in this room, as I walked into the room, I thought of our own responsibility, of not just carrying on that legacy, but forwarding it and pushing it forward into the world of tomorrow. This was my induction and introduction to the presidency of Yeshiva University. What is the Rav's legacy? Of course, there's no one way to capture it in a single talk. Volumes and volumes continue to be written on it. But allow me to suggest a broad brushstroke framework through an analysis of one of the seminal events in our history, Akedas Yitzchak. If you look at the Akedah, we look at it together, I think it gives us the beginnings to understand this kind of framework. V'yachar dvar me'ele v'lokim nisa es Avraham v'yomer elav Avraham v'yomer hineni. It was after these things that God tested Avraham, and he said to Avraham, and Avram answered, Hineni. What is it that Hineni means? How would you translate Hineni? What is Hineni? Here I am. Okay, so in the one sense, Hineni is here I am. But it means a little more than just here I am, I think. What else? What are the connotations of this here I am?
I'm ready.
I am ready. Rashi says, it's Lashon Zimon, Lashon Anava. It's not just here I am, it's here I am for you. I am here for you. Whatever you want from me, I am here to do your bidding. God makes his request. Abraham, Hineni, whatever you want. God says it. Abraham follows. Now, while we know that Abraham follows, we do not get a direct sense of how Abraham was feeling. His inner experience of this command. But there are hints along the way. So for example, when Abraham goes out on his journey, all of a sudden, we're told, Vayikach Abraham et atzei olah, Vayikach biyado et eish vet amachelot veyalchu shneem yachtav. Vayomer Yitzchak el Abraham aviv. And Yitzchak says to Abraham, his father, Vayomer, and he says, Avi. Vayomer, and Abraham answers, Hineni bini. Vayomer, and Yitzchak says, Hinei ha'esh ve'etzim v'ye'aseh la'ola. I see the wood and the fire, but where is the set for the carbon? Vayomer Abraham, Elokim yiralo ha'seh la'ola bini. V'yalchu shnehem yachtav. My Hashem will show us the set for the carbon, my son. And they walked together. Now it's very important. It's an unusual conversation that's recorded in the Torah. Generally, when the Torah records the conversations between people, it skips the pleasantries. The Torah is not a tape recorder. It doesn't tell you every single detail of every single conversation. It usually just gets to the point. For example, the Yom Yisrael Yosef, when Yaakov said to Yosef, Alo achecha ro'im b'shchem, l'cha v'shechacha alayim, your brothers are in Shechem, go and see and go and check on them. The Torah doesn't tell us, Yaakov says to Yosef, Yosef, and Yosef says, yes, Abba. And Yaakov says, well, I want you to go and check on your brothers. It goes straight to the point. The Torah is not a tape recorder. It doesn't record each element of the conversation. But yet, when it comes to this conversation, Yitzchak says to Abram, his father, and he says, Avi. And Abram answers, Hineni bini. Where is the set? And Abram says, God will show to us bini. The details that are normally missed are now highlighted. Because in this case, I would suggest, the pleasantries are not ancillary to the story. They're the point of the story. Because in this conversation, we see a tender relationship between father and son. Avi, yes, bini. Hashem will take care of us, my son. And just in case you missed the point, that something momentous is happening, the Torah surrounds the scene with the same phrase, V'yalchu Shnehem Yachdav, to bracket and highlight it, to show they're all walking together. And I think the crux of this, which is very clear, is that there's a contrast between the words Hineni that Avram first says to Hashem and that he's now saying to his son. For we said before that what does Hineni mean? Not just that I am here, but what? I am here for you. I will do your bidding. I will do what you want. Hineni bini, I am here for you, my son. I'll do anything for you, my son. And in this simple phrase expresses the volumes of the tension of the two sides of Abraham. The Akedah is many things. It raises theological questions, it raises moral questions, but in addition, it's also a psychological drama, as the two essential hinenis of Avram's life are in irrevocable tension. Avram Ivri is totally committed to Hashem, would do everything Hashem asked for him, is the ultimate Eved Hashem in all ways. And Avram Avi is the caring father who waited his whole life for his son with Sarah, and who would do anything for his precious Yitzchak. And the drama of the moment is that these two identities are forced into a confrontation in which Abram has to choose one over the other. The Midrash says that during the journey, The Satan appeared to Abraham in the guise of an old man and tries to dissuade him from following through on the Akedah. And the Satan uses different arguments to discourage him. Who is this Satan that appears as an old man before Abraham on his journey? So one way that some Darshanim have suggested is that the Satan is none other, the old man is none other than the other side of Abraham himself. That the Midrash is revealing the internal conversation that's taking place within Abraham on his way to the Akedah, highlighting the two sides of Avram's personality. And these two sides, I would suggest, are already hinted by the word Hineni. For the word Hineni reveals the two sides, the Avram Ivri and the Avram Avi. And this is the drama of the Akedah, that there's a zero-sum game. And there could only be one winner in this battle. For when Abraham picks up the knife to kill Yitzchak, he is not just killing Yitzchak. He's also killing a part of himself. By choosing Abraham Ivri, he is killing Abraham Avi. This background prepares us to understand the end of the story. For at the end of the story, when the Malach of Hashem tells Abraham to stop and not kill his son, what does he say? Vayikra alav Malach Hashem in Hashemayim vayomer, Abraham, Abraham. He does not mention Abraham's name once, but he mentions Abraham's name twice. And what I suggest is that by saying it twice, the Malach is indicating to Abraham that he does not need to kill a part of himself. That both Abrahams, Abraham Ivri and Abraham Avi, are precious to Hashem. That both are part of serving Hashem. Part of serving Hashem is the love of your son. That it's not a zero-sum game. That you can be and that you should be both. And that is crucial. The key lesson of the Akedah is that as opposed to Christianity, the son of the Akedah does not die. That Hashem stops Abraham. That Abraham learns a lesson that he does not have to choose between the multiple aspects of his personality. That both are precious to Hashem. And how does Abraham respond? Abraham says, Hineni. These two perspectives, Abraham Ivri and Abraham Avi, are not merely two elements of Abraham's individual personality, but in a larger sense, they represent two poles as our mission as a people. These two poles are identified by the Rav in his Chamesh Drashot, in his interpretations of the Pasuk, Kotonti Mikol HaChasadim U'Mikol HaEmet. The Rav explains that Yaakov in this Pasuk is reflecting our dual mission, captured by the words Chasadim and Emet. Chasadim for the Rav directs us to be a contributing transformative force in the world. The Rav in these drashot delivered in the Mizrahi conference place this idea in the context of the state of Israel. The state, he writes, is the instrument by means of which we are to continue building the world, which itself is an edifice of loving kindness. Of course, the drashot were in Yiddish. This is a translation of the translation. The state must develop the most modern technology, the very best educational institutions, and must be scientifically progressive with a high standard of living and flourishing economy. All of these things are part of Olam Chesed Yibaneh. The world is built on loving kindness. These activities, which the Rav classifies as chasadim, or loving kindness, is the Avraham Avi side of our mission, emanating from a deep sense of Ahava for our families, for our community, for our people, and for all of humanity. Through this, we devote ourselves to the task of creating a world that is beautiful, bountiful, and conducive to human flourishing. The loving kindness of Avraham Avi is only one aspect of our mission. The other is what the Rav identifies as Emet. The Rav explains Emet is the truth that strives to redeem man from vulgarity and impurity and to endow his life with savor and vision. It is based on our mitzvah and mitzvah relationship with Hashem, to know and to live by the truths of His Torah. This is the Hineni of Abraham Ivri. Our goal is to embody both Avraham Avi and Avraham Ivri and bring chasadim and emet into this world. And this is what we uniquely do at Yeshiva University. We combine Torat Emet and Torat Chesed. And this is a countercultural idea today. You know, I was in a conference of presidents of universities at Harvard last summer. And the whole group of presidents were there, and they're talking about the narratives and the subjective ways that we view the world. And the president of Harvard at the time, the new president of Harvard, is actually a very proud traditional Jew. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. But the president at the time, who also may be a wonderful person, spoke to the group. And I said to her, "Are you planning on changing your banner?" And she said, "Why would we change our banner?" I said, "Because it says Veritas on it. And you don't believe in that anymore." And she said, "What are you talking about? Why don't we believe that?" "I don't know why you don't believe in it. But truth, that's what we stand for." And it's a countercultural thought. There was a student of the yeshiva who was in a summer program. And a lecturer said, "You'll never hear a president of the university speak about truth anymore." And he said, "That's not true. Our president speaks about truth. Torat Emet is at our core. That's what we're here for. To learn, to study, and to emanate, and to disseminate our truths. But in this yeshiva, we don't just teach about Emet. We also teach Chasadim. We bring our students to develop their potential in the world of Chasadim as well. As scientists, doctors, financial experts, captains of industry, always to add and to grow the economy and well-being of our fellow citizens and broader society. This is our Torah. This is the heritage of the Rav. And it is therefore deeply fitting and appropriate, and it can only be from here, that this kind of publication, that this kind of book, this kind of study could emerge. And I thank our communal partners, the Orthodox Union, represented by Alan Fagan, and so many others who are here, for partnering in this effort, and for being with us in disseminating this Torah. Our goal is to disseminate the Torah of the Rav to the next generations. And in this sense, just actually seeing Stephen and Oren sitting together, seeing the trajectory from one generation to the other, medor ledor, of this Torah, is especially meaningful and especially paradigmatic of everything that we're trying to do. You know, when I think back to my time of starting in this new position and staying in the Rav's apartment, I was overcome with awe. And I thought at the time of the legendary story I heard about the Rav. That once in the middle of the night, the Rav heard the radio playing loudly in the dorm room above. He put on his bathrobe and he went upstairs and he knocked on the student's door and he said, "It's 2 a.m. Don't you know that people are learning?" When I mentioned the story to his daughter, Tova Lichtenstein, she told me that it's not a true story. The Rav did not own a bathrobe. But bathrobe aside, this is the picture I had of the Rav in his apartment. Books lining the walls, Sfarim open on the table, deep into the night, creating the Chidushim that we still learn and study. But like in this story, when I was in the apartment, I also did hear the students. The sounds of students milling about just outside the window, the beautiful sounds of the Sephardic tefillah just next door, the conversation of the Talmidei Yeshiva as they returned from Night Seder. And it occurred to me that the Rav's Torah can take many forms. His myriad books and shiurim represent his written commentary on the Torah. But our students here at Yeshiva University represent his living commentary on the Torah. This refers, of course, to the Rav's actual students, many of whom are here sitting in this room. and whose utter devotion and commitment to the Rav has enabled the Rav's Torah to be spread throughout the world. And we are eternally indebted to them for taking on this effort through the Orthodox Union, through many other vehicles, to publish the Torah of the Rav and ensure its continuity to the next generation. And the living Torah refers to, equally and maybe even more importantly, to those of us who were not direct students of the Rav like myself, but were students of his students. Because we represent, by continuing to study and speak of his Torah, that the legacy has continued. Meidor, the door. A legacy of Torah Emet, of Torah Chesed, of Avraham Avi and Avraham Avi. And we serve as the next link in this wonderful chain. Today is a wonderful celebration. A celebration that can only take place in Yeshiva University as the educational epicenter of our global movement. A centrifugal force by which the values and teachings of the Rav are spread way beyond our walls to our community, the broader Jewish people, and all of society. They are spread through his words and books and by the students who embody these values that were formulated in our era by the Rav, but actually and truly date back to Har Sinai. Yehi Ratzon, may it be God's will that the publication of this Chumash of the Rav's written Torah will inspire those of us who strive to be his students, his living Torah, to carry forth his values into the next generation.